Am I audible with this? No. With this one. Can you hear me? All right. We've been trying for weeks to straighten out the microphone system. Evidently, all this problem started when the federal government began selling off all of the lesser ranges, and the ranges that the microphones traveled on, they've sold to God knows who. Such is the wisdom of the federal government. But that's another sermon. So now we're trying this one. The person who's installed this microphone that I just read from will be here at 9, at which time I will ask him to turn it down, because it strikes me as being inordinately loud. How did they do religion in 1913? That's what I want to know. This morning, I know someone who's deeply concerned about the divisions that exist between Christians, as well as the divisions that exist between Christianity and other faiths. My friend is convinced that religious divisions are a source of great peril for the future well-being of the world. And so he's committed to attempting to find those aspects of world religion on which people of goodwill can agree. Not surprisingly, let's see, I just saw movement in the back. Shall we try this? There. No, still pretty loud. Not surprisingly, this fellow delights in today's gospel from the 22nd chapter of Matthew. In the passage we've just read, Jesus is attacked by his critics, who attempt to publicly embarrass him by getting Jesus into a theological discussion over which of all the laws in the Torah, the sacred way of Israel, which of these laws is the greatest. Jesus responds simply saying, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Then Jesus follows with a second commandment, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus says, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." These things sum up the law of Israel. Now, this fellow says that Christians make a big mistake when we attempt to complicate Christianity, adding a whole bunch of other stuff, other rules, regulations, speculation about the identity of Jesus. This fellow says we'd be much better off to focus exclusively on the text. We should love God with everything we've got and love our neighbors as ourselves. More than that, though, this fellow has spent time studying many of the world's so-called great religions, and he believes from the study of other faiths that this statement by Jesus is the one thing that all religions have in common. Muslims may disagree with us on just who Jesus is, but they all agree with us that we should love God with everything we've got and our neighbor as ourselves. My friend says Buddhists think much the same. Now, while his effort is a noble one, I question this fellow's reduction of Christianity to a one-sentence summary. Is this all Christians believe? Is this an adequate summary of the entire rich, full Christian faith? He would respond to my objection saying, "Take it up with Jesus." When Jesus is asked to summarize what he thinks are the greatest principles, commands, and regulations of Israel, Jesus gives this two-sentence summary of himself. And so there you have it. The whole sweep of the Christian faith boiled down to the love of God and the love of neighbor. And yet Jesus doesn't stop his conversation with his critics there. He goes on in today's gospel to inquire about the Messiah, the expected anointed one, the Messiah, the Savior of Israel, the Son of David. Yes, of course, the Messiah must come from the lineage of David. Throughout Matthew's gospel, from the very first, Matthew has been arguing that Jesus of Nazareth is a son of David. And in doing so, Jesus considerably complicates the conversation. by moving his critics from a discussion of religious behavior and religious ideas to a much more complicated and controversial idea of the identity of Jesus. If one is supposed to love God with all our heart and soul and strength, as the scriptures say, what are we to do if the one standing before us, this Jesus of Nazareth, is God? And right here is my major problem with my acquaintance program to have all the religious differences and all the religious devotions centered on the phrase of loving God and loving neighbor. Love is more complicated than it might first appear. At least, love as Jesus defines it. In our culture, there are those who believe all you need is love, as if love were a fairly simple activity. Trouble is, we've attempted to make love a rather vague word that can mean just about anything you want it to mean, until we meet Jesus. Jesus not only said that God is love, which everybody already believed, but he demonstrated it. He enacted it. He embodied a very different, particular definition of love than what everybody believed about love. And that's when things got complicated. Jesus loved not simply as a strategy to bring out the best in everybody, but he loved by commanding us to turn the other cheek when struck on one cheek, not to marry after we divorce, to go the second mile when commanded by an enemy to go 1 mile, to forgive our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us, to sacrificially give away 10% of what we have without any expectation of return. If Jesus had only been a moral instructor who came and told us, love your neighbor as yourself, then perhaps you could be reduced to some simple attitudes and actions. But Jesus didn't leave it at that. He not only said that he loved us, but he showed us that he loved us. Christians don't simply believe in love. We believe that love is defined as a costly suffering, sacrificial, nonviolent action, as we witnessed when we saw Christ on the cross. Remember a T-shirt slogan from a few years ago? I asked Jesus, how much do you love me? And he spread out his arms wide on the cross and he died. In an episode of another gospel, Jesus is encountered by a rich young man who asked him what he was to do to inherit eternal life. There it said that Jesus looked on him and loved him and then commanded him to give away everything he had and follow Jesus. On the morning when you're about to make your pledge, does that sort of radical disinvestment sound like love to you? What we do with what we have, what we do with our money, is part of how we love God, as it's particularly defined by Jesus. And that's what's wrong with my friend's program. Christians don't really know what love is until Jesus shows us what love is. A Christian definition of love may therefore be very different from a Muslim definition of love or a Buddhist definition of the same word. Jesus' critics ask him, what are the most important things for a loyal son or daughter of Israel to do? And Jesus responds using scripture that everybody there knew by heart since they were children, quoting the same scripture that's prayed by the faithful Torah observing Jews every morning and every night. Nothing new there. What's new was that Jesus continued the conversation, leading his interrogators into a question about the Messiah. When the Messiah came, the Messiah would reveal the God of Israel. When the Messiah came, the Messiah would show us the way toward salvation. And what Jesus showed us, and what a way he walked. No wonder that after this exchange, Jesus' critics got organized and conspired to silence him for good. Christians are those who believe that Jesus was not only a wonderful teacher, he was a savior. We believe that he was not only a child of Abraham, He was the very Son of God. We believe that the way he walked and what he taught not only made sense for daily living, but was the way, the truth, and the life. Those of you who have been walking that way for some time, those of you who have heard the teaching of Jesus over the course of your lifetime, those of you who have sat through sermons and read scripture, could tell us that there's very little that is simple about Jesus. His way is demanding, and sometimes that lands us in the middle of all sorts of complexities and commitments that we wouldn't have if we hadn't gotten mixed up with him in the first place. And yet, in that demanding way, we believe there is life eternal. Just a few chapters after this exchange, Jesus will define what he means by love, by really loving God with everything he's got and his neighbor as himself. He will give this definition to all, not just standing before the temple and having a theological argument, by stretching out his arms on the hard wood of the cross. There is little that is simple and straightforward and obvious about a cross. And yet, these are the words, and this is his way of life. This morning, I invite you to step forward with your pledge card in a few moments and take a step forward in your life of Christ's love. If you are pledging 1% of your income, can you pledge 2%? If you're pledging 5%, of what you take home, can you pledge 7%? I ask you, because the work of Christ in this place needs it. But more than that, I ask you to walk that way, loving God with all you have, not just as we define it, but as Jesus shows it to be. Amen.